On this day one of the pledge drive, we're playing an excerpt from our call-in show about women laborers in the pineapple industry. It aired last month, and we heard the actual voices of women who worked in the fields and in the cannery. The oral histories came to us via the UH Oral History Project. Our studio panelists included Local 5 spokeswoman Joanna Elazar, a hotel worker who was one of 2,700 people who went on strike for 51 days on Oahu and Maui. And Teresa Bill created and taught a course called Women at Work at UH Manoa and has written extensively about women's labor issues. HPR's director, Bill Dorman, did a lot of heavy lifting, culling through audio of the oral histories recorded back in 1979.
Most of the interviews you'll hear cover the period from the 1930s to the 1960s in terms of working. Think about it. That takes you from the Great Depression through the Second World War and beyond, and a time also that includes two strikes at the Hawaiian Pineapple Company. You'll get different perspectives. The first is Motoe Nihei, who was born in 1904, Iwate Prefecture, Japan. Her family immigrated to Kipahulu, Maui when she was 9 years old. Her father taught at a Japanese school. Mother worked at the plantation store. The family then moved to Molokai, and Motoe married an independent pineapple grower, had six children. Then the Depression hit and forced them out of pineapple growing. And in 1937, they moved to Waihewa, where she worked in the pineapple fields during the season, did laundry the rest of the year.
Why did you go to work?
Well, because I have six of children, eh? With only my husband's income. Those days was just a little. So I says, well, instead of staying home, I think I better go out there and help him and get some spending money for the children. Yeah, that would be a little easy for us. Yeah.
When you were doing this type of work, what did you think about?
I used to think, well, I have to sweat up all like this. I say, I'm not going to let my children do this kind of job. Yeah.
You know, that aspirational aspect of workers talking about their kids is a common theme throughout this. And it's true not only in the field work, but also to the cannery. One quick story from there. Helen Barnes, the fourth of 15 children born to a full-blooded Hawaiian parents on Molokai in 1907. At the age of three, her family sent her to Sacred Hearts Convent on Oahu, then moved on to Sacred Hearts Academy, graduating 1927. Started working at the Hawaiian Pineapple Company as a trimmer. She got married, had four children, moved to Chicago. Eventually, she divorced, came back to Hawaii, where she worked at Hawaiian Pine from time to time, all the way until she retired in 1973.
After you graduated,
you
started to work at Hawaiian Pine, yeah?
Not right off the bat. I went home, and then from home, I came here. I didn't want to stay in Molokai, so I came here, and I stayed with my uncle. Then I had my two cousins, the twins. They were working in the cannery, so they told me, why don't I go with them? So I said, it's hard. I said, no, a lot of fun. That's when I went.
Did you need to work?
No. It's just, you know, get out.
Yeah.
Huh? And meet people, you know, and then they told me it was good fun working in the cannery. So I went.
How did you get the job?
It was easy in them days. Just go and say you want to apply for a job. Okay, take your name down. You're hired. But in them days, the cannery was very small. It wasn't big like this. The job was okay.
Helen Barnes telling her story and talking in 1979. She was 72 at the time. Really underlines the idea that, you know, cannery work, important as a source of income for sure, but also social aspects of that as well in terms of bonding those friendships.
Well, you know, Joanna, Teresa, you want to jump in here? I mean, what struck you about these conversations with these women?
Just the hard work. I mean, it's still the same here. Like now I'm, you know, 28 and I'm doing a lot of hard work in housekeeping. How Matoe, she was talking about how the pineapples are really heavy, same like our carts that we push every day back and forth. It does take a toll on your body, so it's a repeat of what it used to be like, just a different type of job.
And I was struck by, you know, people are still working two and three jobs just to make a living in Hawaii.
Yeah, I was going to say that our current situation with all adults in the household having Paid employment is nothing new for Hawaii, although I do think that while Matoi was talking about the aspirations for her children, now a lot of our families are working so hard just to pay rent as well. And that when Helen is young and single, right, she talks about going out after work and doing different things, and that there's definitely a different level of responsibility once you have children and a family. And the social element of work, I think, is very important. It's a way for people to be able to get through the long hours. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Joanna, if housekeepers have a time of day when they're able to get together, because they work alone a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, you do have your partner on your floor. So usually your partner ends up becoming your best friend. So you would go down to eat together when you take your breaks. And a lot of the housekeepers, they have batches. Like when you get hired around the same time, that's like your group. Yeah, so a lot of them end up building good relationships. They end up going out together, maybe to each other's house, karaoke and stuff like that. So yeah, it does make the time go by quicker when you do build relationships at work. Yeah,
I mean, I recall when I was working in TV, one of the things that I had to cover that just has stayed with me, it was the closure of the cannery here on Oahu. Mm-hmm. And it was the last lunch for all the ladies.
Oh.
And it was just so moving, because you knew these women were such good friends.
Yeah.
And they were so emotional, because they knew this was, you know, probably the last time they'd be together as a group like this.
And Teresa, in terms of the history of this, of the canneries in particular representing a potential workplace for women that hadn't existed really on that level in Hawaii up to this point.
Yeah, the canneries really offer a single industrial place where women can come and work. And initially, the canneries is, it's intermittent work. It's seasonal. People come and they have long hours. I think shifts are typically 10 hours or so. That's a new way for women to earn money in the canneries, because before that, a lot of times women are limited to either like being household help in private homes or doing laundry, depending upon different jobs. And I think that women's work in as a whole, we see a lot of times that what women do for their families gets monetized. So they're doing laundry, childcare, taking care of others, sewing, and that the cannery offers kind of a completely different industrial place. And it's social, because if you're, you know, doing laundry or sewing for people at home by yourself, it's very, very isolated. So
we do have a call from Kona.
Hello?
Elaine, yeah. Elaine.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to share about mom and about the cannery. You know, yes, you know, mom only went to a fourth grade, and she was poor, we were poor. Dad was an immigrant, but she wanted to send me to the best of the schools, which was a private school. So mom worked hard, and she worked at the CPC Dole Cannery. And it was located in Iwale since I was a little girl in the 40s or early 50s. You know, she would bring me to work. But as I grew older, it was time for me to work. It was summertime. And it was so exciting to, you know, see other boys and girls from other schools. I was about 15, 16. I remember following mom before she started to her locker. I watched her powdering her hands before spitting her gloves and popping the fingers of the glove. As she put on her glove, and then I watched her placing her cap made out of net over her head, tucking her hair under it. And last but not least, I watched mom put on her white apron, tying it the top around her neck and tying it around her waistline. That was mom getting ready for work. She was so proud. Mom would coordinate with the workers a big party held at the beach sometime in Waimanalo, whatever beach it was, where everyone brought drinks, food, and sang, and was one big, happy cannery family. It was the good old days of the Hawaii Pineapple Cannery. I got tears in my eyes, which many of us will never, ever forget, especially me. I want to say this in Hawaiian. Hali hana, hali kahiki noka oi. Pineapple canary, the best. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Elaine, our caller, for visualizing your cannery memories for our listeners. A lot of emotion there. Mahalo again for sharing your story. And that was an excerpt from one of our memorable column shows that we brought to you on The Conversation, heard only here on Hawaii Public Radio.